3. I'm almost sorry to see this epistle coming to an end. I hope everybody's going over it and over it. See what God's got for us. I think it's very timely. A lot of instruction, a lot of encouragement. I think every one of us need that. But he's got a whole lot of other books ahead for us until we leave this place, so they'll be just as good. We're going to start off in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, and this is Paul's final words, as we know it, to the Thessalonican church and the believers that were there. And within this last section, chapter 3, he addresses a lot of different topics that you're going to notice in there. But today I really felt led just to address one topic, and that was the topic of prayer that Paul started this off with, saying finally, which is an important word, really. Generally, if a preacher says finally, then everybody breathes nicely because they know it's over, right? You know, but Paul wasn't saying it because he was done with his letter. He was saying this because this right here was important. Finally, everything else that I've told you, this I want you to hear. And the Lord kept impressing that on my heart this week. So we're just going to look at that first verse today and see what God has got for us. So, word of God. Finally, brethren, pray for us. And if you underline and you feel comfortable doing that in your Bible, please do. You know, we've said for a lot of years, it's not how you mark your Bible, it's how your Bible marks you. What is this? And sometimes, you know, those highlights in there can grab our attention. And I'd ask, you know, pray for us. That's what Paul was sending to this church that was under persecution. They were, you know, experiencing trials and troubles. And Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Father, help us, short little sentence, but so packed for instruction for us in this time that we live in. So help us to still and quiet our hearts and hear what it is that the Spirit would say to us in this, Lord, personally and corporately as a body, how we would take this and put it into application, not only in our own lives, but in our church life. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So finally, brethren, pray for us. Wow. Prayer is probably one of the most important. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know or can assent to, but prayer is probably the most important thing that we as Christians can do. Period. You know, we try everything else. We comb the ends of the earth. We look for places to go on, you know, and there's nothing wrong with spreading the gospel on mission fields and everything else, but not every one of us have that gift or that blessing. And the one thing that every one of us have in common and have been commanded by our Lord is to pray. So when Paul says that, he's telling us as Christians, this is the most important thing that you can do. And prayer, I think we all pray, but I think it's something that it needs to be exercised more in the time that we're in right now. You know, some of us, it's just a matter of bowing our head at the table, which is good, and asking God's blessing on our food, or when we get into some kind of trouble or a strait, you know, we're right away, boy, we're praying like crazy. But prayer is something that we should be doing from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. And it's something that's simple. I've had people tell me, well, I don't come to Wednesday night prayer meeting because I can't pray like Tom Neal, and I can't pray like Pat or Lauren or Mary. There is no formula to our prayer or verbiage that we have to get out. Prayer is speaking to God as if we would speak to each other. Be careful with that, because sometimes we don't speak to each other very nicely, or some of the words that we do use are not what we would be saying to God. But it's speaking to my best friend, your best friend, the savior of my soul. It doesn't have to be eloquent. He knows our thoughts before they even come out of this mouth. He's already got them. He knows that they're coming. So this prayer that Paul was asking for, I feel it's pretty simple. And prayer is making a request in belief and trust to one who we should know and should believe and should trust that he is able and that he is going to get himself involved in what it is we're praying. You know, the Word of God says, don't be asking God for stuff and then doubt. It says, that man, that woman, you will receive nothing. And how many times have we done that? Well, this is too big. You know, this is asking too much. Well, I don't know. God is saying, ask with that belief and with that trust that he is going to intervene in our requests. Simple, not elaborate. So as we go to the Lord this week, let's all of us try to remember that. Remember these believers that Paul was finishing this epistle. These believers were under persecution and trials from the area around them, the people around them. But so was Paul. Stop and think of what this guy went through, because it's gonna matter for what he's asking, and it will matter for the way that we pray also. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. They were having trouble. He didn't write them this epistle and say, oh Lord, please get them out of all that trouble. Please let people think that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Please people let this, you know. He didn't ask that. He asked that the word of God, the gospel, in all the trials and tribulations they were going through would have free course to get out there and do what it was intended to do. Paul was having trouble. I mean, just even if his life, think of this guy. He had to walk pretty much or ride a donkey or get in a little boat everywhere he went. He had to set that up for himself. Nobody gave him money to do that. When he got to a town, he had to figure out his own speaking place and engagements. He had to supply for himself by making tents. This guy had troubles. He could have been praying for all that. Please, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Right? I mean, you know, that's an old Janis Joplin. My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Let's all break into that, right? Now, you know, but really, that's how our prayers are. When I feel the Spirit of God has shown us, no, in this time frame, we need to focus, because this type of prayer can have great, great merit. So Paul's prayer was twofold. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. What do some of your translations have?
Speak rapidly.
Do what?
Speak rapidly.
Okay, that's good.
Speed on and triumph.
Oh man, there you go. And be glorified. Underline that, and be glorified. But look at that last part. Even as it is with you. That's going to be the ending of verse 1 when we get to it. That the word of God is glorified in me. The word of glory. You know, Paul saw this. Paul looked and he says, even as the gospel, the word of God is glorified in you, as he was writing to these believers. And that's something that we should take very seriously and ask ourselves, am I glorifying God in my natural surroundings? When I go to work, when I go to restaurants, when I go to the supermarket, when I go to my family's house, are people seeing the gospel? Are people seeing God's word starting to achieve that thing that he sent it out to do? Just a little thought, possibly. So we're going to be looking at free course and glorified. There's nothing wrong. Please don't misunderstand this or let it get you to a point where when you're praying, you hesitate because, am I praying right? Am I, you know, if you're praying, you're praying right. Unless you're praying some kind of curse coming down on somebody, you know, like take them out of town quick. And when we're praying, hopefully, prayerfully, it should be right. And what Paul was trying to get across, and I'm sure, you know, we all know Matthew. It says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. But sometimes what we do is we pray for ourselves, more in those personal needs that we might have, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel again, in this time frame that we're in, what's going on in our world and around us, there is a great need right now for this type of prayer, that God's word would run swiftly. So free course. Let's turn, put something in there. Free course. That word in the Greek means to run swiftly. God's word. Not my opinion, not what I think somebody needs, not the way I feel this should be prayed for. Paul is saying, please pray that God's word would run swiftly to the point that it was needed. And in our prayers, I'm feeling more of a need these days to pray God's word. Yeah. Now, we're not reminding God of his promises. That, and sometimes we hear people, you know, not that way. Praying God's word. God says that not one jot, not one tittle, nothing is going to pass. And if we pray God's word, not our opinion, I have a feeling that that free course, that power that goes with the word of God unto salvation is going to have its course. It's going to get to that point. A course is a special place to go. You know, if you've got to run in a circle, in a race, that doesn't mean that you can just start and then go 3 feet and back up and come back. It's a course. And we need to pray not only, I mean, think, and what we're going to read today, if we start praying this way for our pastors, for our teachers, for our missionaries, for our government, if we start praying literally God's word, not my feeling or opinion, can we believe that we're going to see something really start to take shape? Too often we pray, like I said, be careful. You know, Merck, a good friend of ours, one time after a prayer meeting, he says, you know, you pray just all the time, just. You're limiting God. Well, it froze me for about a month. And you do it too. Oh, Father God, if you would just intervene in this. Oh, Father God, if you would just touch my friend Bill or whatever, you know. Well, I couldn't pray for about a month because just wanted to come out. And I just stopped, you know. A lady from our church here came up one time, and she was always asking for prayer. And this one day she came up and asked for prayer. So Doug did what he always does. I put my hands on her and I said, let's all pray. And without even thinking, I just started praying. And right about midway, she just yells out, no, that's not it. I mean, it was like, what? How often do we do that? When somebody asks, we just start praying from, you know, I got this prayer down. I know how to do this one. And she yelled, no, that's not what I need. That's not it. That's, you know. If we pray, some of you know who that lady is, and you probably your heart's warmed right now. If we would pray God's word directly into somebody's life and pray that it would run swiftly, Lord, not my opinion, not my feeling, not what I think that individual needs, but God's word, which is yea and amen, and the promises that he makes to us, to wait, to breathe, to stop for a second and ask, Lord, what does my wife need right now as I'm praying for her? Not just some blah, blah, blah. What does she really need? And watch that start to just plant into her life and start to form in front of us. I did say to turn somewhere before, didn't I? Psalm 147. See, God's word is designed to run swiftly. I started reading a little bit of things this week, and Psalm 147. Verse 15. So it's not just something that we're trying to dream up as something new. You know, I think in the churches we try to get a hold of some program, or we try to get a hold of some new activity that's going to make God's word really produce. We're never asked to do that. And I feel that we've left God's word in a sense, not only in our activities, but in our prayers and in our interactions with each other. We have been called pastors, number one, everybody else in the flock. We are called to feed the sheep with God's word, not entertain the goats. And that's what I see happening an awful lot in this time frame that we're in. And I want to try to be obedient and start. How do you pray God's word? Well, you got to know it first, don't we? So it's going to be that I got to get my face in this book. And when somebody says, I'm in trouble, could you come over to the house? And we know what it is. We've got to dig into this like we're going for gold to find what is that scripture, Lord, that you want me to give? Because you already set it up. And when I say, you know, run, have free course, get to its point, it's not my idea. 147:15 says, he, being God, sends forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runs very swiftly. So my opinion, do you ever pray for somebody and tell them, hey, you know, when I needed the Lord in my life, he took away all my alcohol. And the person, well, I never drank. Well, when I did it, you know, the Lord took all my drugs. Well, I never did drugs. Well, when I was chained to money, well, I've been broke all my life. We customize our prayers for people. Well, my gosh, how do I pray for a drunk? How do I pray for a drug addict? How do I pray for a prostitute? How do I pray for somebody who's trapped in homosexuality? How do I pray for somebody who's just engrossed in money? You pray the same exact way that you would for anybody else. See, we try to make everything fit into God's plan, you know. But what we should do is make sure we fit into it. And that's by, if we pray this word, it'll never return void. Run swiftly. So Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 55. What's the result of that? And I started looking at Isaiah 55, a wonderful chapter, and it's an exhortation to seek the Lord. And I think we all know somebody that needs the Lord today, and we're trying to convince them in all different ways and all different opinions. And what we need to do is just start praying the word of God over them. Not anything else, just scripture after scripture, because it has great reward. And Isaiah 55, listen to what the word can accomplish. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God he will abundantly pardon. From my thoughts, see, the way that Doug thinks things should go, the way that Doug thinks I should pray, the way that Doug thinks these programs should be run, has nothing to do at times with what the Lord has in mind. We need to seek him while he may be found. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, innate, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven returns not thither, but waters the earth and maketh bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's what his word does. Look what's being accomplished by God's word. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. And you know, all we are is lips for the light right now. Sometimes we think we got it, or I got to save this person, or if I don't say it right, you know, it's not going to happen. All we are is mouthpieces. We're just talking heads in a sense. We're just to speak God's word into those people's lives. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherefore I sent it. Wow. Wow. Praying God's word. We need to pray. And we need to pray this way. I read something, probably Wednesday maybe. I was going through some things, and Spurgeon, It was a story about him, and he at this one time was wearing coveralls. He said Elijah shared one with somebody. The guy was, I don't agree with everything. You know, a man in the congregation came up and handed him a humidor of cigars and said, I've become a Christian and I no longer can smoke these. Would you take these, Pastor? And he said, I certainly will. And he held them, and the guy said, what are you going to do with those cigars? And he said, I'm going to smoke them to the glory of God. He was outside of his church, and Spurgeon's church was world, you know, it was huge. But he was outside in a pair of coveralls. And somebody asked about the power plant. They thought he was the janitor or something that went. And they asked him about, you know, the heating system and whatever else, because this is a while ago. Could you show us the power plant to see how this operates? He brought him downstairs in the church to a room, and there were 200 men and women on their hands and knees praying for that Sunday morning service. He said, that's our power plant. That's the power plant right there. Not anything else. It's not our games. It's not our programs. It's not, you know, how much we know or how high we jump. It's the Word of God, and it's the Word of God being prayed. And those people were down there praying for Sunday service, not for anything else, just that Word that was going to be spoken would go out and it would hit people just like this. The wicked would forsake their ways. And, you know, can you imagine? With that kind of prayer, I started thinking, boy, souls get saved. Yeah. Lives get changed. People get freed from bondages. That's what happens when God's word is put forth over my opinion. Last one, Psalm 19. Let's just look at that. Glorified, that the word not only would run as we speak it, pray it, live it, that it will also be glorified. That means that somehow, some way, something is being seen, right? How would somebody know that something's glorified unless, remember Moses, when he came down, he had to put a bag over his head because it was just the Shekinah glory was just emanating from him. People can see things. People, I don't know how that works, but they know you're not the old Rick from 20 years ago that they knew. You're not the same Mike from back in New York if you went home. There's something that God is doing in our lives, and it's called glory. As we live it, as we pray it, as we speak it, as this is my whole life. Glorified even as it is in you. So look at 19. Here's how that glory begins to move into people's life. This is what can be seen if we pray and preach only God's word. Verse 7 says the law, and that's the doctrine. I don't know what yours are, but the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So being glorified, that the word would run fast and be glorified. How is it glorified? It converts souls. How many people have been converted here? You know, converted, meaning, and you know, this isn't like the Transformers that you see on the TV here. My life isn't the same as it was. How did that happen? It came from the Word of God, not my efforts. Not how high I could jump, not how many verses I memorized, not how many studies I attended or whatever else. It came from God's doctrine, from God's statutes. It's perfect, and it converted my soul, and it converted yours. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Think of Corinthians, how many times he mentions in there, God didn't choose the strong things in this world, but he chose the weak things of this world so that in our weakness, his strength could be seen. That when I speak, it's not, wow, what college did Doug go to? Well, anybody who listens to me talk realize I didn't go to any college, you know? Carl, I love him, and I've shared this. Carl says, I love Doug, and I love his preaching, but he murders the English language, you know? It has nothing to do with intellect or anything else. It's God's word, and if I speak it, that's God's word. It doesn't get any better. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's all of us, and that's somebody we're going to be praying for this week. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening, or waking up our eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than a trip to Maui. More are they to be desired than that new car, that new job, that girl or that guy. See, we're in step. You know, it says, there's an old thing that you could be on the right track, but still get hit by the train. We're on the right track, but when it comes to our prayers and when it comes to speaking God's word, when we're trying to get it out there, we've got to be careful because there's some other things we're desiring a whole lot more than God's word. I can say that for me. I don't know about you. But these words are supposed to be. They're created to be. They're sent out to be desired more than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward.
Amen.
Woo-hoo. I'm just going to finish this. I was going to end at 11. Who can understand his errors? You ever do stuff that you don't even know why you're doing it? You ever say anything that you don't even know why you said that? Even after I hear it's either me, Donald Duck on my right shoulder, God, you know, don't say that to Pat. And I wait and I wait and wait. And then I say it anyhow. And I think, why did I say that? I knew to shut up. I knew not to go there. Who can understand his errors? And without God, none of us are going to figure it out. We're just rolling. We're just going. Cleanse me. This should be one of our prayers. From secret faults, those things that I do that I don't even realize that I'm doing. Cleanse me from those, Lord. That's praying his word. There it is right there. Cleanse me from these secret faults. You don't have to name them. You don't have to go into great lengths and everything else, but just pray that. To get these things out of me. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Now that's the ones we know. Mm-hmm. Saying the things that I shouldn't say. Thinking the things that I shouldn't say. Being in those places I shouldn't be. Doing those things that I know. Just start praying it. If you're sick and tired of it, pray about it. If you're not sick and tired about it, keep on doing it. And eventually you're going to get so low that there's no place else but up to look. And then we'll be begging for God again. This is real. Hog eats the cabbage zone, you know. Let them not have dominion over me. One thing that I do and say, oh, well, everybody else is doing it. Oh, well, you know, what's the difference? I prayed about that, but it didn't happen. One thing can change the course of my whole life, and it will have dominion over me. Pray to God, don't let these things have dominion over me, Lord. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression or much transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I think those thoughts, those words, everything else, if they're God's thoughts, if they're God's word, they're going to be acceptable. They're going to be received from our Lord and Savior. What if we prayed that? What if we prayed that for our town? What if we prayed that for our family? I don't know. That's your testimony to come then. I can't believe what happened. I started praying the word over my whoever, son, daughter, mother, father, friend, boss. And I can't believe the person is changing. The word gets glorified in our lives. Do we look at that? You know what? This might seem stupid. This is funny. If I told everybody, turn around, look at the person behind you, that doesn't work because you see how that works. But just look left and right. Look left and right for a minute. What do you see? What do you see? We just read that God's word is glorified, Paul said, even as it is in you. You see Tom's neck brace? Do you see that one's problem? Do you see that one's heartache? Do you see that one's steps, faults that are wrong? That one does this. That one does that. Is that what we see? When I read that, I said, I want to look at you and see glory. Yes. I want to look at you and I want to see God's glory. That's what I want to see. Not William, who is this or that. I want to see God's glory in you. Because if that's our first thought, if that's our first vision of each other, can you imagine the oneness of the body of Christ that it can be instead of looking at each other's faults, instead of looking at each other's failures? That's what Paul is asking right there. Trying to encourage his Thessalonian believers to pray in that manner because he sees the glory in their face. What's that song? Angels' wings, I can see glory on each face, a brush of angel wings. We got to get back to this stuff. We've just made this something that we want it to be. Opinion, God's word. Pray this week that it has free course, runs swiftly, hits the mark. Amen.
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 Amen. You may have one more scripture.
Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This is from the Amplified. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and constantly being transfigured into His very own image, in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.